This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
That God will do an ever-increasing work of His grace here in this city. I want to speak to you this morning about claiming the power that is in Christ. Claiming the power that is in Christ. I want you to go to John 16, please. John 16. Two verses I'd like to read with you. Verses 23 and 24. Claiming the power that is in Christ. John 16, beginning verse, let's start at 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. This is Jesus speaking. Your heart shall rejoice. Your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Hitherto, or up to now, have ye asked nothing in my name. Verse 24. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Holy Ghost, blessed Holy Spirit, come upon me now and anoint me with the fire of your Spirit. Sanctify this vessel. Let the words of truth go forth. Touch our hearts. Heavenly Father, we depend on you every time we stand in this sacred place. We have no power, authority of our own. Our words fall to the ground unless you come in might and power. Speak through me, Lord. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost burn in our hearts. Do something in our hearts, O God. Put a Holy Ghost fight in us this morning. We will not give in to the powers of Satan and the powers of hell and darkness. We are told that we are more than conquerors, and we believe that, and we're going to stand on it. Devil, you're a liar, and we speak against your spirit, trying to hinder the forces of Almighty God in our homes and in our churches. And we claim the power of Jesus Christ this morning. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Jesus is in his final hours. He's about to be glorified. He tells his disciples that he's going to go, but he said, I'm going to come again and you'll see me. And Jesus said, do you ask what this is all about? Because they were asking among themselves, afraid to ask the master, what's this all about? You're going to go and come back again. And Jesus said, do you ask what this is all about my coming, going away and coming back? And what he's saying, brother, you go see me again. You're not going to have to ask me anything. He said, you won't have to ask me because the Holy Spirit's going to reveal it all. All the words I've told you, you're going to know it. You're going to see it because the Holy Spirit's going to teach you. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Then we hear Jesus say in the next verse, hitherto, in other words, up to now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy might be full. Now, most commentators would say they couldn't ask in Jesus' name at that time because Jesus was still here. They say that was for the time when Christ would ascend to the Father. And then they would ask in his name. But I boldly disagree with that, because there was a man who laid hold of this name and claimed the power of it and did mighty miracles. In Mark 9, 38 and 39, you find John the apostle coming to Jesus and saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he follows not us. And we forbade him because he's not following us. But Jesus said, forbid him not. For there's no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against me is on our part, or otherwise, he's on our side. Amazing thing here. Here's a man that Jesus himself acknowledges being on his side. And here's a man, perhaps not as theologically steeped in the Word of God. He had not had the intimacy that these other disciples, but he had to be a follower of Christ. This man had sat probably under his teaching in various places, and he had heard the same thing that the apostles had heard, that the 12 had heard, that the multitudes had heard. Jesus had said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now we know this man had to be a man of fasting and prayer. This man was going out in the name of Jesus and casting out devils, and Jesus said he was doing miracles. He was asking in the name of Jesus. Jesus was still here. He was asking. He turns to the disciples. He said, up to now, you've asked me nothing. You've asked me nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive. He said, ask now. Not wait for some other time. Not trying to figure out theologically what it means by in my name. I'm telling you, in my name, you have power over the devil. You have power to cast out devils. You have power to heal the sick. Ask and do it. And one man took him up in his word and went out and started casting out demons and casting out devils and doing miracles by faith. Not understanding the theology of it, I'm sure, but just obeying a simple commandment of Jesus. Jesus turns to the disciples and said, up to now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask now and you shall receive. Now, the truth is, in comparison to all of the might and power that is in the name of Jesus Christ, both myself and everyone listening to me, we have asked. In comparison to what he has provided, we've asked nothing in his name. We've asked nothing in light of the resources and the power and the might of Christ that is in his name, we have asked nothing. These words convict me. I've been looking at those words for the last 3 or 4 days, and I find myself unable to move from this point until God was dealing with by the Spirit. David, up to this time, you've really not asked anything in my name. They're all power is in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, ask anything in my name and my Father in heaven will do it for you. And he said, really, you've not asked anything. You've asked nothing of me. Now, folks, I want to get to what I believe is probably the most grieving sin in the eyes of the Lord. But what grieves him more, perhaps more than adultery, fornication, pornography, and all these totem pole sins that we list. What is it that grieves the Lord about his church and his servants and his people today? I honestly believe it's the reproach of not asking largely in his name. That more and more need is accumulating. We have never been in such a needy time as we are now. And we have less and less petition in the name of Jesus. We have fewer and fewer making large petitions of the Lord and believing him for great and mighty things in their homes, their families, in their ministries, and wherever they may be in life, asking so little of the Lord, and as the days go by, asking less and less. Afraid to step out, often because of unbelief. Asking nothing. He said, you've asked me nothing. I have all of these resources. I am a God who gives. All things have been given to Christ. All power and authority that is in the Father is in the Son. And in his name, we're to cast out devils. We're to heal the sick. We're to believe for the impossible, because he said, with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing. We have all these promises. We have all of this greatness of God, and we ask nothing of him. I pray I fast. I preach about intimacy and communion with the Lord. But what is that? What is any of that? As necessary as that is, as scriptural as that is, as needful as that is, if it does not produce in us some kind of a faith, if that does not ask us, if that does not cause us to look at the majesty, the might, and the glory, and the power of God, if it's only fellowship, if it's only intimacy, and it has no outworking, it is not causing us to come out of the secret place of communion with such authority. And what are you going to do with your authority? What are you going to do with your power? You can't waste it on yourself. It only works when you give it out. You see, this man probably didn't have the intimacy of the disciples. Probably didn't understand. Folks, I have books in my library, some 400, 300, 400, more pages on how, on the meaning of claiming the name of Jesus Christ. Now, they're praying in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. Entire books. And you get into it and it begins, they belabor it and just go over and over and talking about all of the theological twists and turns of it. And folks, you get bogged down. It's over my head. This matter of asking and receiving in the name of Jesus Christ. It's amazing how we so often refer to his name. We sing about the name of Jesus. We talk about there's power, power. Our choir sings a magnificent song and there's power, power in the name of Jesus. We sing about it. We praise his name. We love his name. We love to hear his name. But we very seldom appropriate his name. We very seldom claim the power that is in his name. Why are we not interceding more and more for our family in the name of Jesus Christ? And why is it that we read in the Bible that in the last days the devil's going to come down to this earth having great wrath? He's a mad devil because he knows he has a short time. And in the light of that, my question is he going to meet a passive, lame church? Is he going to meet people who just give in and say, I've been harassed, I've done the best I can, I guess I just have to live one day at a time just making it through? That's not enough for me. I don't want to just have enough strength to make it through one day. I want to be more than victorious over the powers of hell and darkness. We don't have to take what we've been taking. We don't have to yield. We don't have to be afraid. Every day now, there's something seething in me. There's a holy anger. And it came to a boil this past week. And I'd had enough. I'd had enough of the devil trying to kill my wife with one spirit of affliction after another. Watch her fall in weakness right to the ground. One operation after another. The harassment of the devil. Lying emails. All kinds of attack from every side. And I said, that's enough. That's enough. I have the name of Jesus Christ. I have authority. And I don't believe in railing against the devil. But I believe we ought to put the devil on notice. Devil, you can call off your hearts from hell now because I'm going to resist you. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And I'm going to do it in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord. You can call off your demons because this time they're going to smack right up against the power of the name of Jesus that I claim in my home and my life. We don't have to live in fear of men. We don't have to live in fear of the future. I told the devil, no more fear of flying. God's been delivering me from the fear of flying because I have to do some flying lately. No more fear of airplanes. No more fear of anything. I'm not here cheerleading. There is something boiling and seething in my heart. There's a holy anger. The anger of God. You don't have to take this. God can give you a soundness, a perfect soundness right in the midst of your trial and whatever the enemy tries to bring. There can be a perfect soundness. Well, you find that in the scripture. Peter and John go up to the temple to pray, as it was their habit every day, going up to the temple to pray. And every day they'd pass the lame man begging at the temple gate. And these spirit-filled men came one day, and something came on Peter, a holy anger. And he's saying to himself and to John, no doubt, we've passed this man now enough. That man now, laying there lame, is the enemy mocking the power of our Christ. He told us that he's going to go away, but he's going to come again. He's going to inhabit us. We are in Christ, and we have the power of his name given to us. And John and Peter said, this is enough. And Peter goes up to this man and says, I have no silver, I have no gold, but what I have, I'm going to give to you. What he said, I've got something better than all the gold and silver on the face of the earth. I've got something that is greater than all the medical doctors combined on the whole earth. I've got more power than all the armies of every nation on the face of the earth. I am one in Christ. My name is his name. His name is mine. And in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And tell you and I, like Peter and John, stand up and say it's enough. Until we begin to lay claim on the power that is in Jesus Christ and his name. Folks, the devil will just keep on doing his work. Peter fastened his eyes on him in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And he got up leaping and stood, entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Crowd was amazed, and they said, what's going on? And Peter said, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see, hear, and know. Yea, the faith which is in him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. He said, you want to know why he's leaping and dancing? Because it's the name of Jesus Christ. It is in the name of Jesus this man has been healed. No other name. The high priest and his kin put him on trial. Brought Peter and John to the court. And they asked him, by what power, by what name have you done this? How'd you do this? Whose name did you use? They said you had a name. You were using a name. Whose name was it? Then Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, said to them, be it known to you all and all the people of Israel that the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. It's the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. You see, Peter and John took off all the limits of God. They said, we're not going to live with limits anymore. We're not going to limit the Holy One of Israel. We're not going to limit his power. We have limited the power of God. I don't care how blessed you are. I don't care how many great things God has done for you up to this point. We've just been sticking our toes in the water, so to speak. We aren't even up to the ankles. We haven't begun to see what God wants to do. Every believer that's loving Christ, every one of us in this building, all hearing me now, you have the promise. You have God's sworn statement, his promise, sworn, and he cannot lie, that you have available to you, every one of us, not just the elders, not just your pastors, you have access to all the power to lay hands on anybody who's sick, and afflicted, you have the power within you. If somebody wants prayer and says, pray for me, don't call for the elders themselves. That's in the church. Yes, call for the elders of the church. But, A, you have it. There are times you can't call for an elder of the church. You have that power available to you in the name of Jesus Christ to cast out devils and to heal the sick. The problem with many of us is we've allowed specialists to come into we've cataloged this thing and we've put it into little bins. In other words, I don't pray for the sick because I'm not a healing. I don't have the gift of healing. I'm not a healing pastor. I'm a preaching pastor. And sometimes that's been what I thought. And a pastor, there's some that have that gift. There are gifts of healing. But that's available to the church of Jesus Christ and every believer and all the miracles that we're not seeing because we don't have the faith. The miracles we should be seeing in our homes and around us, those on the job that never listen to your witness, but you see that they're sick or you know that there's somebody in their family and you can take them by the hand and say, I'm going to pray for you in the all-powerful name of Jesus Christ. See the testimonies that come and see how many in that circle are brought to Christ through the miracle. Like this man who went out. The disciples were going to forbid because they were not one of, he's not one of us. Glory be to God. You see, claiming the power of Christ is not a hidden, complicated theological truth. Let me try to make it as simple as I possibly can so that even a child can understand it. We ask in Jesus' name, and you've got to be fully persuaded that not only are you asking, but it's Jesus in you asking. It's as though Christ himself were laying hands through you. In the name of Jesus means that I am living in his name. I am one with Christ. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly places. When it talks in the name of Jesus, it's talking about not a formula, but a position. I am in Christ. All the power of God, all the might and the glory and majesty of God has been given to Christ. He is man and he is God. And I believe in my heart and I'm fully persuaded that when I ask Jesus to do anything in his name, though I ask it, he is hearing Christ ask it. He loves me as much as he loves Jesus because I am in Christ. I believe that when I pray in faith in Jesus' name, it's though Jesus were before the Father asking. It's not David Wilkerson asking. It's Jesus in me asking. And the Father never denies his Son. The authority is in knowing the union we have in Christ. It's not just a formula in the name of Jesus Christ. There's scripture said those that stand before him in the last day saying, we cast out devils, done mighty miracles in thy name. He said, I never even knew you. No, you see, they don't understand. There was no union with Christ. They were not in Christ. They were not in Christ. And the scripture said, they said they'd done all these things. God didn't say they said they'd done all these things. Now, hear me closely now, please. Because all our praying must be in the name of Jesus Christ. All our praying. And all of this trying to exert some kind of faith, trying to work up some kind of feeling of faith, trying to work up thoughts, well, do I really believe him enough? And if it doesn't happen the way I ask, then maybe I didn't have the proper measure of faith. We're not talking about a measure of faith. We're talking about something greater than that. A simple confidence that when I came to Christ, I was clothed with his sonship. I was clothed with his sonship so that just as Jesus is a son of God, I am a son of God. Just as surely as Jesus stands before them and asks, the Lord only recognizes one man. He recognizes one man before His throne. Every petition comes through one man. Every prayer comes through one man. It's Jesus. And I come to the Father through Christ. And when I say in the name of Jesus, it is Jesus standing before the Father praying, and I am praying to Him, and He's praying through me. We are all one in Christ. That they may be one, as the Father art in me, and I in thee, that they also might be one in us. That the day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you because you have loved me and believed that I have come up from God. You see, I pray now as a part of the family. This is family now. And this is my Heavenly Father, never deny His own Son. That is where our faith rests. Our faith rests in the almighty power of Christ Himself. Can you believe that this morning? That when you pray, there are so many that have lost all confidence that God answers prayer anymore. I hear it said everywhere I go, I ask in Jesus' name, but my prayers went unanswered. I tried to claim the power in His name, but it didn't work for me. Now, you see, if there's something sinful or defiling in our lives, these are blocks. These are stumbling blocks. These are roadblocks that dam up the blessings. And these defilements have to be repented of. The Scripture says often that those defilements, the real defilement is unbelief. It's half-hearted confidence in the things of God or in Christ Himself. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A mother wrote to us this past week, reading some of the mail. And she said, my teenage daughter is living in deep sin and on drugs and living with a boyfriend. And she was a believer one time. And she prayed one prayer. Don't let my daddy die. He was, I think, 46 years of age, the father, of cancer. And her father and the mother was writing to us. Her husband, 46, died. And she said, my daughter says, Mother, I gave God a chance. I prayed in faith. I prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. And my dad died. And in anger against God, she said, I'm going to live my life my own way. And I read three or four letters like that just this past week. I prayed. It didn't happen. I prayed that God heal my marriage. And now I face divorce court. I prayed in Jesus' name, and God failed me. Why should I surrender my life to God? I was on an airplane flying from Florida, and there's a woman, an attorney, I found out, and she's crying, just weeping, and said, what's the matter? And she said, well, I said, I'm a minister. I'm not nosy, just a minister, and I want to know why you're weeping, and can I help you? And she said, well, I just buried my father in Florida. I'm going back to New York. And she said, I don't want to talk about God. How could a God of love kill my father, who's one of the most loving, kind persons I've ever met on earth? And the anger and resentment against God, because she said, God doesn't answer prayer. And how many hearing me right now can think of a situation in your past life and you prayed what you believe was a diligent prayer, and you said, I had all the faith I could muster, and I prayed in Jesus' name, and nothing happened. And there are some, especially young people here, and singles. There's a gnawing doubt inside. There's just something there nagging. I prayed, and God didn't answer. And there's a bit of an anger there. Now, you may not hate God, but there's something keeping you from full surrender to the Lord. and confidence. You don't pray anymore because you don't believe God hears. And if you believe He hears, you don't believe He answers. And it's just, our mail is full of these kind of letters. I can't believe God answers prayer anymore. And you can ask almost anyone out in the street that's drowning themselves in drugs and alcohol, and almost everyone will point back, if you ask them, to a time that they prayed about something and they really believed. They said, I believed and God didn't answer that. And I felt so powerfully yesterday and even this morning when I'm in prayer that I would be speaking to a number in the annex and all over this building and overflow rooms, to those who are not enjoying the fullness of the blessing of God. And you don't pray. You don't seek God. It's not that you have turned agnostic, but you have no confidence anymore in God. You don't have any confidence that He hears your cry. You may have prayed about a girlfriend or boyfriend, a marriage situation, a father who you wanted, you loved, a brother, a sister, or a child, and there's something inside your heart that is hindering God from answering. He said, you're wavering. And He says, any man who wavers or questions God, don't let him think and receive anything from God. And really, God didn't answer many prayers. He doesn't, because God knows He's being tested. He's on trial. And it goes something like this: Lord, if You'll do this, I'll serve You. I'll give You everything if You'll just answer this prayer. And God will not be bribed. According, in regards to faith in His Son, God will not work that way. He knows our heart. God sees the heart and really what is being said. And if You don't, I'm going to go live my life my own way. I don't need You because You let me down. There's no way you can ever ask in faith and believe if you're testing God. If there's some thought in the back roads of your mind, Lord, if You don't do this, You have failed me. There has to be that which the Hebrew children had. Lord, I know that You're able, but if You don't, I still trust You. God is able. Job, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Daniel, I know that God can shut the mouth of the lions, but if I'm devoured by the lions, I still believe in God. I still trust Him. I'm going to close in just a few moments. Go to John 14. I want to show you two great, magnificent promises. Chapter 14, sorry, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on Me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to My Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. Now that, here's a promise. You ask anything in My name and I'll do it. Now skip down to verse 16. And I will pray the Father. Here's the second promise. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, folks, here are two great promises. Incredible. God says you can ask anything in My name. In the name of Jesus. Jesus is speaking. You ask anything in My name, in the name of Jesus Christ, and I'll do it. Now, folks, can God trust such unlimited promise to ordinary people? Yes, He has. He says, nothing is impossible with Me. I can do anything, and you've got to believe that. And the second, I will pray the Father, and He'll give you another Comforter. He may abide with you. He said, I'm going to give you the Spirit of truth. You're going to have the power of the Holy Spirit abiding in you. Now, sandwiched in between those, look at verse 15. Look at this, sandwiched in between the two promises. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, why would the Holy Spirit sandwich that call for obedience between two great promises? If you look at the promises, those promises are meant to fulfill verse 15. In other words, there needs to be nothing standing between me and the full claim of all the power that is in Jesus Christ, because the first thing I'm going to ask is power to obey. I'm going to ask for the power of the new covenant with all the promises of God to give me a new heart, to keep me from falling. I'm going to believe God, first of all, that the Holy Spirit in me is going to mortify and kill all the sin flesh. As far as my confidence in it, those two promises were given to fulfill that so that nothing stands in the way or hinders us claiming all the majesty that is in Him. You know, some of us have come to the end of their Christ. I'm going to ask you the question, have you come to the end of your Christ? Have you come to the end of your Jesus Christ? Because you see, some have gone only as far as trusting and believing in His merits. That's all they claim. They want to be saved. They want to die and go to heaven and be with Jesus. That's the good news of the gospel. But if you're going to just stop with the merits of Christ, and you're going to claim His power and His authority and lay claim on all the power over Satan that is available to us, we've missed the message. It's not just going as far as being saved. I want more than being saved. I want more than just sufficient grace for the day. I have that. That's wonderful. I want more than that. I don't want my Christ to be limited. Jesus is no bigger than your prayers. Do you understand what I said? As far as the world is concerned, as far as the Father and all the angels of heaven, I want my Father and I want the devils in hell to know how big my God is by how big my requests are. I'm not talking about cars and houses and lands. God takes care of all those things. I'm talking about walking into my house and telling the devil to get out the back door and take all of his demons with him. I'm telling him to take all of his threats and go his way, because they're all the demons and devils and principalities and powers of hell cannot touch a single child of God walking under the blood and in the power of the name of Jesus. Impossible. When are we going to stand up and let the devil know there's some fight in us? Not our power, not our strength, but in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Where is your faith? What are you asking for? Are you satisfied with what you have? I am not. I want to see God do greater things than I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, I'm 72, but I am still young in my faith. I'm not trying to work you up in your emotions. I'm trying to have you get a hold of the Word of God and believe that He's made these promises for you and I to lay hold of them. We don't fight with carnal weapons, but our weapons are mighty through God, and that's claiming by faith every promise in this book. Hallelujah. That unsaved child of yours, you claim that child by faith. Not one of my children, not one. Not one of the children of Israel were left behind. They didn't leave a dog behind. I'm praying not only for my children, grandchildren. I'm praying to Jesus. I'm praying for my great grandchildren already. Oh, glory be to God. We have the power. We have the might. Why have we been so lazy? So unbelieving. You've asked nothing. Up to now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive. We've made Christ look so insignificant and so small because of our puny request. Oh, God, just help me make it to midnight. Oh, God, I don't know what's going to happen. Lord, how am I going to make it tomorrow? That's not the language God never intended for us to lay down and let the devil take control of our homes and our marriages and our families. God never intended that. He intended us to make a declaration loud and clear. It's not a matter of railing against the devil. It's a matter of taking our position in Christ and saying, in the name of Jesus Christ. Folks, that's how we defend the power of His name. That's how we defend His name before the world. Not just talking about it, but showing the example. Believing God and seeing miracles happen. This should be a miracle church. It is a miracle church, but we should be seeing hundreds and hundreds of miracles happening. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. I want you to stand. Oh, God, put a holy anger in your heart. A holy anger for having lived so long and claiming so little of the wisdom of God, the power of God, the joy and the peace. I don't want a half cup of joy in my heart. He said that you ask largely. He said that your joy might be full. Bible school here, they've been praying about establishing the mission station. My Lord, help us to have the faith that we can go out to the whole world. This church, sending out missionaries all over. That it boils down to your family. Right down to your family, to your apartment. Where you rise up in faith. And what I want in claiming the power of Jesus Christ, probably as much as or more than anything else, is that power that He's offered and He's willing to give us to keep us sound and in faith through every trial, everything that we endure, that we're not shaken. We have, in the name of Jesus Christ, the power, the anointing, and the presence of the Holy Ghost in our lives to see us through. I think of Sister Pat John. Some of you know her. She's going through chemotherapy now, chemotherapy for cancer. And how you see those shots trying to waste the body, but the spirit rising because claiming the power that is in Christ, the confidence and the faith. Whatever you're going through, God wants to lift you above that. You can look down on it and say, devil, you're not taking me down. I'm going to grow in my faith and believe Him. Heavenly Father, we don't want to just be hyped up in our emotions. God, this is Bible. This is your gospel. You said, ask and ye shall receive. Knock, seek and ye shall find. Lord, we're going to do it. We're going to obey you. Lord, there are some that have given up almost on the salvation of their family, their children, their close loved ones. And others, oh Lord, that are living in fear and bondage. Captive of the enemy, captive of the lies of the devil. Lord, break those chains. I speak against them in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm asking, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the name above every name, I'm asking in that name because I am in union with that name. And when I ask it, it is Jesus asking it of the Father, that in this service now, in the annex, the overflow rooms, in the choir, all over this church, that you would release us from all fear and all bondage of the enemy and fear of falling, fear of Satan. fear of cancer, fear of disease, whatever the fear may be, we take authority in Christ's name and say, be gone, be gone, be gone. I want you to raise your hands, people, and I want you to claim in the name of Jesus victory in your life, your family, over all fears. I want you to take a step of faith in the annex. Get your hands up and get a hold of God and say, in the name of Jesus, these lies are going to stop. I claim power and victory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. In the annex, overflow rooms. And I say to everybody, I say to you in the name of Jesus, Christ the Lord, rise up and walk out of your bondage. And I say so all hell can hear it. I say to my wife, rise up and walk in Jesus' name from the bondage and the fear. In the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Every sick person in the choir, every sick person, we have this authority in His name. Oh God, help us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We rise in faith. Oh, mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. I'm open these altars now for anybody in this place, up in the balcony here in the main floor, anyone in this place. And you have been harassed by the enemy. You have been through so much. And you've had doubts and you've had questions. Now, if you've been backslidden, you've been running from God, I want you to get down here. If the Holy Spirit's talking to you, I want you to get it right with God right now. If you want to come to this altar because you say, Brother Wilkerson, I want to walk out of this place absolutely in confidence and without fear and without captivity of the enemy. If you haven't given your heart to Christ, step out in the balcony. If you've never, rather in the annex, if you've never given your heart to Christ or you're backslidden, you run from God, you come down here. They'll show you how to get down here. You come and stand here and we'll pray with you and believe God for a miracle in your life. We're just open. I don't know why you would have to come. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. But if you feel you need to come, we will minister to you in prayer. Can we? Holy Spirit speaking to you. Just make your way. Please move in close, if you will. Jesus.
Come, Holy Spirit, I need you.
Oh, come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in thy strength and thy power. Oh, come. In your own special way,
Holy Spirit,
come, Holy So many, many needs here today. So many things. Listen, here's what the Lord showed me last night with this. I'm not going to prolong this, but it's one thing I want to say to you. I read all of these letters that have been pouring into our office of people with problems. A woman, 89, caring for a 101-year-old husband, and she can hardly walk. And she says, the grace of God is sufficient. God's going to see us through. And I see all of these. My little child, 3 months old, died in crib. And all of these things that come. And so, God, the needs are overwhelming. And you put it all on a scale. And you see that scale hit the table. And then you come along. Take all the problems of all the world. Take all of the pain and all the sorrow and all the suffering. Put it on that side of the scale and watch it go down. And then put the name of Jesus, that's all, on this side of the scale. And watch what happens. All the problems, all the needs, everything, it's all gone. Your needs, if we heard them, would overwhelm us all. But oh, He's big enough to take care of them all. He's a mighty Savior, and He's going to take care of yours. If you've got a sin problem, I want you to believe what He said. Ask anything and it shall be done. Ask Him for forgiveness. Ask Him for the Holy Ghost, because He said, I'll give you the Holy Ghost and I'll give you the Spirit of truth. And that Spirit of truth will drive out that error and those lies of the devil right out of your heart. I want everybody came forward to raise both hands.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I'm praying now in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. I am praying in the name of Jesus Christ, not of Nazareth. I'm praying of Jesus Christ, the resurrected God. The resurrected God. With all power and all authority. Lord, I pray that You cause those who backslidden, those who don't know You, just to cry, Jesus, I give You my heart. I hold nothing back from You. I give my all. I want to be in union with You and one with Christ. Oh, glory be to God. Lord, let us believe You right now. And we come against every lie of the devil that's come against every believer in this house. Lord Jesus, let the Holy Spirit come now and speak loud and clear that Jesus is the Lord of this life. The Lord is King of my heart. The devil has no power, no might, no strength in me anymore. Father, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord, I claim and believe You right now that You will come and impart faith. That we will turn aside from every lie of the enemy. Oh, hallelujah. Just give Him thanks. Just give Him thanks. Lord, we give You thanks.
This is the conclusion of the message.